Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم اللهم آت أنفسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين أما بعد. What is the antidote to sin? Sin is a poison, very poisonous. And what is the antidote to sin? It is tawbah. Tawbah, repentance. This is yet another of Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi's saying, Rahmatullah Alayh. Allah the Exalted says, if my slaves come to me with as many sins as the earth and the heaven and ask me for forgiveness, I will forgive them all without combing about their numerous sins. Thus, there is hope and remedy. For having wasted life in the past, there is no illness without cure. The cure lies in making tawbah. Ask a sheikh how to do it, and do not let your option corrupt his instructions. For nowadays, the malady of self-opinion has spread wide. This is why people do not find the path. Too much of self-opinion. I think so, and I think so. And what you think, and this is my opinion. So tawbah instead of regret. Often people get the thought that they have wasted their life in sin. The Maulana gives them an answer in this saying. There is no sense in regretting in this manner. No sense. If you have wasted your life in sin, then Allah has shown you how to make amends. Make repentance. Do tawbah. There is no illness that has no cure for it. Despair not. The Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi said that a sinner must never give up hope. Even if his sin is grave or he has many sins to his name, as many as would fill heaven and earth, do not give up hope. If he asks to be forgiven after committing them, he will be forgiven. The noble Quran says in very clear words, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. O my servants who have been prodigal against themselves, who have been prodigal against themselves, who have committed wrong and committed an excess against themselves, despair not. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Despair not of Allah's mercy. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jamia. Surely Allah forgives sins entirely. How very explicit these words are. The shaitan, the devil, causes despair. The devil attacks man by causing him to despair, to lose hope. Tells him you are lost. You cannot hope to be forgiven. You're gone through. So you know what? Just go on, make more sins. That makes sense. Just commit some more sins because you've gone through already. But Allah says, No matter what sin you have committed and how many, Allah says, come to me. Allah says, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not lose hope and despair of the mercy of Allah. Making tawbah again and again. Sometimes man says, I make repentance, I do tawbah, but commit sin again. The repentance is violated, and I repent again. This goes on and causes me to lose hope. How can I reform? For Allah's slaves remain firm on tawbah, but I am unlike them. Know well that this is nothing to feel dejected about. Only try your best to remain firm on your resolve and do not be bold in committing sin. But if you slip, then make tawbah, make a repentance. Every time you err and make a mistake, repent. The Quran says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Allah loves the tawwab, the tawwabin. He loves those who turn to him greatly in repentance, time and time again. There's mubalagha in this meaning, exaggeration, excess. وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. And he loves those who keep themselves pure. This verse uses the word tawwab, tawwabin. Although one who repents is called a ta'ib, but Allah didn't say ta'ibin. Inna Allah yuhibbu ta'ibin. No, he says inna Allah yuhibbu tawwabin. So we should have seen ta'ibin, but instead we see tawwabin. Why? This has the sense of stress. This has the sense of mubalagha, exaggeration. Again and again, that quality is within the tawwabin. One may wonder that if a man has repented for his sins and stood firm on his repentance, then why should he make repentance again? The answer is that the verse refers to those people who make a mistake, repent, and then again fall into error and repent. They are tawwabin. The word tawwab itself suggests that you must make a perfect repentance on your side. You must make perfect repentance and try your best to maintain it. But if you make a mistake again, do not worry, but come again to Allah. The word itself means to return, taba yatubu, to return. Thus the verse means that Allah loves those who turn to him frequently. Inna Allaha yuhibbu tawwabin. Allah loves those who turn to him frequently and turn to him in real earnesty. So there, turn to him every time you make a mistake. Sins will decline. Your responsibility is to ensure that you make repentance every time you commit a sin, and do not waste time in doing that. The moment you commit a wrong, turn to Allah immediately. If you are sure to do it, then your falling into sin and error will decline. Allah will cause ways whereby you do not fall into error, often because you are repentant. He will cause ways for you not to fall into error. Look how deep this verse is. The Quran says, ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُ. Surah At-Tawbah. ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Then Allah relented towards them. First, he relented towards them. He turned towards them. Why? لِيَتُوبُ, that they may turn towards him in repentance. In this verse, Allah has used the same word of tawbah for himself. Taba. ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُ. Used the same word for himself as for his slave. It means that Allah returns to his slave and looks at him so that he makes a repentance. Allah looks at him. Allah turns towards him so that he makes a repentance. Wow. It is Allah's way that if a slave turns to him often and seeks forgiveness, it is Allah's way that he protects him. He protects him and does not let him fall into sin. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ma asarra man istaghfara. Rawahu Tirmidhi, Kitabu Da'wat. Ma asarra man istaghfara. He who seeks forgiveness, man istaghfara, ma asarra, is not one who insists on sinning. There is no israr. He will not continue and insist on sinning once he continues with istighfar. Ma asarra man istaghfara. That is, such a person is not counted as hardened sinners. Allah has given man the antidote in the form of istighfar, so that the moment the devil causes him to sin, he should take the antidote and seek forgiveness of Allah and repent immediately. So do not fall in despair. No matter how many times you sin, simply turn to Allah. Isn't it so, Aligarh? And the heart. One of the disciples asked Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, Rahmatul Alay, when we are in your gathering, we experience much spiritual uplift. But once we go out of it, we return to the world and its cares. We do make a repentance and seek forgiveness, but return to sin when we go out of here. The Maulana said, when you put on a white pair of garments, are they always white? Do they never get dirty? And what do you do when they are dirty? They said, we give them to the washerman. He said, well, I too am a washerman. Come to me when your clothes are dirty and return purified. In fact, Tawbah washes off the dirt of sin. Wash every time you get dirty, wash. However, while repeated washings wear off clothes, the more you wash off sin from your heart, the more the heart becomes strong. Allah will give it that strength, and inshallah you will commit fewer sins and they will not be as grave. A beautiful dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once made this dua. Allahumma ij'alni min alladhina idha ahsanu istabsharu wa idha asa'u istaghfaru. O Allah, let me be among those who when they do good, they are pleased, they rejoice. Either ahsanu istabsharu, and when they do evil, they seek forgiveness. Wa idha asa'u istaghfaru. O Allah, let me be among those who when they do good are happy and pleased, and when they do evil, they feel bad, they seek forgiveness. This is reported in Ibn Majah. Observe, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prays to Allah in these words. If one gets accustomed to turn to Allah every time he commits a mistake and seeks his forgiveness, then the doors to success are open for him. Inshallah, he will prosper. Remember the word taba yatub, which means to return, to turn, tawab. Away with my sins. Baba Najmi Ahsan Rahmatullah Alayhi was one of our elders. He was a good poet. In one of his compositions, he said that repentance and sin was a great wealth with which Allah had blessed him whenever he had remorse on committing them. So he could not give a hoot about sins now. To repeat, sit down once and make a comprehensive tawbah. Resolve firmly not to commit sin again by intention, saying, but it is not within my powers to stick to my resolve unless you, O Allah, enable me to do it. Make dua like that. Speak to Allah. The Honorable Dr. Abdul Hayy Rahmatullah Alayhi said, speak to Allah in a friendly way and say, Ya Allah, I have made a repentance and made a firm resolve, but it is not within my powers to be steadfast on this resolve unless you enable me. So either give me ability to keep my resolve or do not take me to task in the hereafter. If after that, though you do make an effort, yet happen to commit a sin, then make a repentance and ask to be pardoned. Do that all your life. Inshallah, you will succeed. We continue our discourses on Tawbah, which is the first step in reforming oneself. Anyone who wants his Islah is the first step. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, if at the time of repentance, one does not make a resolve to give up sins in future, then there should be also a resolve, then there should also not be a resolve to do sin. If you can't make a resolve to commit sin, that you wouldn't do sins in future, if you can't resolve that, then there should also not be a resolve to do sin in future. Rather, the mind should make no resolve to do anything. So if anyone makes tawbah in this manner, with no resolve in the mind, then that is also a correct tawbah. And Fasih Isa, page 197. Three conditions for perfect tawbah. The saying has consolation for weak people like us. Repentance, as the Sufis say, is complete with three things. One, regret and shame for the sin that one has committed. That's the first thing for tawbah to be accepted. Second condition, give up that sin immediately. Third, make a resolve not to repeat the sin in future. That makes tawbah perfect. Doubt about the third. As far as the first two things are concerned, they are observed generally. There being no misgivings about them. But there is always hesitation about the third thing, that the resolve might peter off, though this resolve is an essential corollary of repentance. Thus even the repentance becomes unreliable, which implies that the sins are not forgiven. For if repentance is true, then Allah has promised that He would forgive. Make repentance before going to sleep. Our religious mentor, Baba Najmi Ahsan, Rahmatullah Alayhi, said great emphasis on tawbah. When I, Mufti Taqi Usmani, visited him one day, a young man came to him on that same day. This young man had no sign whatsoever of religious inclination on him. Nothing, no sign of deen on him. It was the practice of Baba Najm, Rahmatullah Alayhi, to tell whoever came to him something about deen. Irrespective of why he has come, he would tell him something about deen. Thus, when the young man took leave, he said to him, son, listen to one thing. People think that it is very difficult to observe religion. No, it is not difficult in the least. Before you go to sleep, just sit down for a while and make tawbah and repent before Allah. That young man was a derelict. He neither offered salat nor observed any other worship. In spite of that, Maulana told him that he should repent before Allah, Baba Najmi Ahsan. Just that. Men of Allah try to draw people closer and they don't run them away. Now a novice would presume that the Maulana allowed this young man full liberty not to offer salat, not to keep fast, and to go on committing sin, and ask him to only sit down a while before sleeping and make repentance to Allah. That's what a novice would think. How was it correct to give him this liberty? The truth is that Allah bestows on His chosen slaves a proper understanding of deen. They trap people. They throw the bait. If He had said to the young man, pray five times salah every day, throw away this vulgar costume on you, grow a beard. If He had said that, then he would never have come back. He would have run away this young man. Hence the Maulana instructed him to do just one thing. Make tawbah before sleep and talk to Allah. Establish a relationship with Allah. That's the point here. If the young man put the Mawlana's instruction into action, then he would establish a relationship with Allah, because till then he was unaware. He had no relationship with Allah and never thought of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he begins to make tawbah, he will initiate a relationship. And when he does that every day, it is impossible that Allah will not draw him near. It's impossible when he does that every day now, that Allah will not draw him near. Because the noble Quran says, Allahu yajtabi ilayhi man yasha. Allah pulls towards himself. Allah chooses towards for himself. May yasha, whomsoever he wants. وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. And Allah guides to himself whoever turns to him. Surah Ash-Shura. However, Dr. Abdul Hay, Rahmatullah Alayhi, used to say that if those who know Arabic are asked, then they would confirm that this verse may be interpreted in another way too. That Allah draws towards himself him who likes that he should be pulled. Allah draws towards himself him, that person, who he himself likes that he should be pulled, then Allah will draw him. It could be translated that way. Because the word yasha, he likes, may stand for whom Allah likes or for who likes to be pulled. Similarly, the next phrase could mean who turns to him or whom Allah wishes. وَيَحْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. And Allah guides towards him whomsoever he wishes or whomsoever turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this verse, اللَّهُ يَجْتَبِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يَشَى. Allah pulls towards himself مَنْ يَشَى, that one who likes that he should be pulled. Second commentary. Allah pulls towards himself whomsoever he, Allah, wants to have him pulled towards himself. وَيَحْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يَنِيبُ. Similarly, and Allah guides towards him whomsoever he, Allah, wishes, or Allah guides towards him whomsoever turns towards Allah. Whosoever turns towards Allah, Allah will draw him. Therefore, if a man establishes link with Allah, even for a little time, then Allah will surely draw him to himself. All a person should do is turn to Allah a little and pray to him. Once a relationship is established with Allah, then that is the beginning of the change. Once a little relationship. Thus the young man who passed a life of negligence to Allah and to His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, observing none of religious duties, would surely have come back to the Mawlana, rahmatullah alayh. If he had begun to do what the Mawlana had instructed him to do, he surely would have come back. I had doubts about my results, says Mufti Sahib. I said to Baba Najmi Ahsan, rahmatullah alayh, that I had doubts whether the repentance I had made was correct or not, because I could not say if the resolve to give up sin was strong enough to last. And this is the third condition of tawbah, that resolve. Likelihood of committing sins does not nullify resolve. Baba Najmi Hassan, Baba Najmi Ahsan is his name. Baba Najmi Ahsan, rahmatullah alayhi, said to me, "O man, you have set a very large standard of resolve. Know that resolve means to form an intention not to repeat the sin. Then the apprehensions in your mind do not negate your resolve. For instance, you may resolve never to speak lies or backbite or to ogle at women. If you fear thereafter that you might not keep your resolve, then you must not let your fear worry you. because it does not hinder fulfillment of your resolve. Ask Allah to make you firm. Then you must pray to Allah to make your resolve strong and firm so that you may act according to it. In this way, your tawbah is made. To resolve is to make an intention voluntarily, but no one can predict how far he will fulfill his resolve. It is not within anyone's ability, so man is not responsible for it. Man is responsible only for that which is within his power. In this way, Baba Najmi Ahsan Rahmatul Alayh comforted me and set me at rest. All praise belongs to Allah. No resolve to do anything. Then I came across this statement of Maulana Thanwi Rahmatul Alayh. This is what Baba Najmi Ahsan had said, Rahmatul Alayh. If while making repentance, you do not make a resolve to give up sin in future, then you should also not resolve to commit sin in future. Rather, your mind should make no resolve about anything. So if you make repentance with no resolve in your mind, then your repentance is also correct. The meaning is that though when one repents, he should also resolve not to commit sin again, yet if he fails to make the resolve, then he should at least also not make a resolve to commit sin. Rather, he should have nothing on his mind, neither of the resolves. In that case, his tawbah is correct. But why is it correct? Because repentance is regret. Maulana Thanwi, Rahmatul Alayh, never says anything on his own, but has sound evidence for whatever he says. Thus, in this case, he refers to this hadith, and this hadith is in Ibn Majah. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, An-nadamu at-tawbah. An-nadamu at-tawbatu. That regret is tawbah. This is the essence of tawbah. An-nadamu at-tawbatu. Hadith of Ibn Majah. The essence of tawbah is nadamat, regret. It is to feel ashamed before Allah. Obviously, such a person says with his heart, Ya Allah, I do not like that I should do this again. This regret is enough to make his repentance sincere. That's the real thing. An-nadamu at-tawbatu. Inshallah, his sin will be forgiven. He should not entertain any doubt after this. Make this dua. However, when you make a repentance, follow it with this dua. Oh Allah, I have repented. But unless you enable me, I cannot keep firm on it. Oh Allah, cause me to stick to it. Suppose you err again into sin, then make a repentance again. Because Allah keeps the door to repentance open till the time of death. It is open for a person till he gets the pangs of death. Do not, important point, do not sin hoping to repent afterwards. Let not anyone imagine that he is being given permission to commit sin and that he will repent later after committing the sin. Rather, he must be careful on this part not to commit sin intentionally. I remember some brothers used to say that are going on an astaghfirullah mission. Are going on an astaghfirullah mission. Let not anyone imagine that he's being given permission to commit sin and that he will repent later after committing sin. Rather, he must be careful on his part not to commit sin intentionally. It is wrong for anyone to be bold and daring in committing sin, telling himself that I will repent later. I'll make up for it. I'll repent later. This is a very strong move and a ploy of the shaitan. Very strong from him. To commit sin and the hope of making repentance afterwards is, you know, like what? It's like consuming poison, taking poison, and the hope of taking an antidote afterwards. So let me take the poison now, or take an antidote afterwards. Listen to a true story, a true incident. Scorpion bite. My respected father, Mufti Muhammad Shafi, Rahmatullah Alayh, explained this with his example, his experience that took place at Deoband. There were many snakes and scorpions there in the early days of Deoband, and they often stung people in that village, Deoband. Therefore, many incantations were practiced there to ward off the poisonous effects of their stings, and these are found in Hadith. They are in Bukhari, they are in many Hadith books, which the Prophet would use as an incantation to what? To treat snake bite, treat scorpion bite. My respected father, Mufti Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi, had also learnt an incantation for snake bites and scorpion bites. When anyone was stung, my father, Rahmatullah Alayhi, made the dua, the incantation, and the effect of the poison wore off, alhamdulillah. People came to him from far off places too, and hundreds would come to him. And people came to him from far off places too. Now, there was a storeroom in my father's house. In those days, there was no electricity, so people used lanterns and lamps. So my father, Rahmatullah Alayhi, had a lantern which he used when he read or wrote something. One day, my respected mother, notice how Mufti Sahib would address his parents. That Mufti Sahib is a great Mufti himself, but look how he would address his father and his mother. Something for us to learn to address our parents like that. One day, my respected mother had to fetch something from the storeroom. So she requested my father to lend her the lantern. Since he was writing something and could not stop, he advised her to fetch it without a lantern. But she was apprehensive lest a scorpion sting her. He could not restrain himself and he said, "If that happens to you, I will blow on you and inshallah you will recover. Go ahead." All went wrong by a stroke of divine marking, by taqdeer, as Allah would have it, fate, destiny. My mother had hardly put her foot inside the storeroom when a scorpion stung her. My father got up immediately and went to her and began the treatment with incantation. But you know what? It had no effect. No effect. The same treatment with which he cured hundreds and hundreds of people who came from far and wide who were stung by scorpions, that same treatment failed to respond in this case. My mother had much pain, and my father finally took her for treatment elsewhere. Only Allah's will. He would then say, "Listen, I had not taken precautionary measures, but I relied on my incantation. I put my tawakkul on my incantation and I didn't take precautionary measures. Allah taught me a lesson for life. Allah taught me a lesson thereby that every treatment, true medicine, or whether it be incantation, which is called ruqya, in Bukhari Sharif, it's called Kitab al-Ru'ya. Kitab al-Ruqa. Every treatment, true medicine or incantation, will work only if Allah willed it to work. The same medicine cures one patient, but not another patient, both having the same symptoms. You know what? Medicine asks Allah what to do. My father, Rahmatullah Alayhi, had a physician, Dr. Hashimi, who was 80 years old. He said, "It is my experience over these years as a doctor that when a patient takes medicine, the medicine asks Allah from inside the patient's body, 'Oh Allah, what shall I do?' It reacts according to the reply it gets." Anyway, one lesson from this event is that no one must rely on his ability true incantation, recital, talisman, charm, medicine. No rely on that, saying that when the need arises, he would resort to this ability. So do not invite illness. The second lesson is that a man may have the best of cures in his hands, but he should not invite illness because of that, because he has the best cure. Invite an illness. Second lesson. Rather, he must seek refuge in Allah from illness. Anyway, my respected father, Rahmatullah Alayhi, used to relate this incident to explain that one must not commit sin because he relies on tawbah and say, I'll make tawbah afterwards. It is like letting a scorpion sting you so that you may practice your incantation afterwards. How can you say that you will get enough time to get the treatment and whether it would be effective? Will there be time to make tawbah? On the same basis, how can anyone say whether he would get an opportunity to repent after committing sin? And if he gets the opportunity, will he have the inclination? Would he have the inclination to make the tawbah if he gets the opportunity? Sin is inauspicious. It causes man to be neglectful of Allah. A man might enjoy sin to such an extent that he does not even think of making a repentance. That's how bad it is. Man might enjoy sin to such an extent that he doesn't even think of making a repentance. Sin spoils man. It is a characteristic of sin that it breeds sin. Sin breeds sin and makes man less intelligent, makes him stupid. He begins to think of a good deed as bad and a bad deed as good. It is like when a man's taste buds become weak. Sweet will taste bitter and bitter will taste sweet. He will not be inclined to make a repentance. That's what sin does to a man. Fear vanishes. For as long as a person does not commit a sin, he keeps away from it. But once he commits it, telling himself that he would repent, then there's nothing to stop him. His fear vanished and he becomes daring and bold. Hence, never should one rely on the thought that he would make a repentance after committing sin. Just keep away from sin. The door to tawbah. However, if in spite of effort to avoid sin, a man falls into sin, then Allah has kept the door to repentance open. It will remain open till the last breath. The Quran says, وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدُهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنَ سُورَةُ النِّسَى. Tawbah is not accepted by Allah of those who do evil deeds until when death comes to them. Then he says, now I repent. No, that's not the way. This man committed sin all his life on the plea that he would repent later. At the time of death, he will say that he repents, as did Pharaoh, but that will not be accepted. At the time of death, when Pharaoh saw the angel of death, and he saw death now, he said, Amantu annahu la ilaha. آمنتُ أنَّهُ لا إلهَ إلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إسْرَائِيلَ وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ الآنَ وَقَدْ عَصَيْتَ الآنَ وَقَدْ عَصَيْتَ قَبْلُ وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. He said, "I believe that there is no God, but that God, that one, He in whom the children of Israel believe, and I am now of the Muslims." Allah says, what? Now, al-an, waqad asaita, and indeed before this you did rebel, wa kunta min al-mufsidin, and you were of the corruptors. Repentance is not accepted from this kind of man, but it is accepted from one of whom Allah says, innama at-tawbatu 'ala Allahi lil-ladhina ya'maluna as-su'a bi jahalatin thumma yatubun. ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Suratul Nisa. Repentance is accepted by Allah only of those who do evil in ignorance and then they turn quickly in repentance to Him. So those are they towards whom Allah relents. Conclusion. Repent again and again Such people do not postpone repentance to the last moment. And those who repent but worry that they commit the sin again should not be in anxiety. But whenever they fall into sin, they must make a fresh repentance. However, they should not let this make them bold to commit sin again. To commit sin in the hope of making tawbah later on is like taking poison, relying on an antidote. May Allah enable all of us to make a true repentance. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Tomorrow, inshallah, same time, same station.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh.